afternoon and welcome to The Beauty Files. I am Juanita, and oh my God, I am so glad you can join us this afternoon. We are going to have a wonderful show, but first, I just want to thank BBS Radio, Don and Doug, for giving me the opportunity to present this new radio show. It's my love, my passion, and I hope that you will find it as nice to hear and enjoyable at that, and also informative. That's the most important part. It has to be informative for me. And today, we're going to talk about male grooming. Now, a lot of men, and I know a lot of men are probably saying to themselves, oh my God, you know, I know how to groom. I just get into the mirror, I shave with an electrical shaver or a razor blade, and I'm done. Soap, water, that's it. No, that's not the answer. I have with me Aisha Masak. Now, Aisha is, I've known Aisha for a long time, and those of you who don't know, I'll give you a little background on me and my company, and just a little because I don't like to bore, I won't bore you with that. But I have a makeup artistry agency, and I supply makeup and hair people to various organizations and television stations, and Aisha and I had the pleasure of working together on several projects, mostly or recently on the campaign. And so I reached out to her because I realized that she now has a new passion or another passion. Aisha created a line called Mankind Grooming. It's a shaving line for men, and she developed it in 2011. And after going through the French Institute for Aesthetics, she came up with this great line that will help men with their pigmentation problems and skin color. And I'm going to read a line that I read from her bio. It says, "My hope is that you will experience the years and dedication of scientific research that went into creating a product that I felt would allow men to enjoy and appreciate their skin, especially after the torment an extreme exfoliation through shaving." Oh, my God. That just says it all. Aisha, welcome to The Beauty Files.
Thank you so much, Juanita. Thank you.
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, the main question, and I think, you know, we were chatting earlier, but, you know, I have a personal issue that I'm going to ask you about later, but it's, you know, my boyfriend experienced something when he was shaving, and we just found out what it was. But first of all, why men shaving products? Why did you decide to do that?
It's funny, I get asked that a lot, I think, because I'm a female. It's
right.
Very surprising, and I also get the question from a lot of women, well, why don't you make something for us? And to be quite honest, what happened was, I'm an esthetician by training, first and foremost, which is what brought my love to the makeup side, actually, is skincare and finding beauty in everyone. And I found as I did treatments on my male clients in particular, that they always would ask, you know, questions that seemed so simple to help them solve. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I realized with that was that they didn't know the basics of what us as women go through, either from our moms teaching us or the research that we've done on our own. They didn't know the simple things of how to treat or what it was that was even going on with their skin. And so it just hit me one day when I was using a celebrity product that I won't mention. A lot of celebrities speak about it being a rave. You know, I'm using this product that I love to death, and I just looked at the back of the label, and something about those natural ingredients intrigued me that day to create something for men that I could help them to solve a lot of the issues that I was seeing on my table.
Okay, so you just gave me a key word, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but you said natural ingredients.
Yes.
So natural meaning no chemical added. I mean, you know, you do, you know, I add a little rosemary extract, but I'll throw
right.
a little bit of this in. I mean, there's nothing like that.
Exactly. Everything is all natural. I try to get organic products, but and I say I try to get because I actually do make this in house for now. But everything is essential oils and just natural oils that you would find, in a garden or something
right,
like that.
Right, right.
So I tried to make it, you know, something that was organic without all that trickery that's going on in the world today.
Because we're going to touch on exactly what products that you have to offer by name or purpose. But I wanted to find another question I want to ask you. When you did the research, or when you were doing your research on genetics and pigmentation, what exactly did that reveal to you or to everyone?
When I went to Howard University. I was a biology major. I wanted to, from the time I can remember, be a dermatologist. And so I've always had a passion for skincare. And in my junior year of school, I actually found a geneticist who was just starting his lab. And I went and spoke with him, and he told me about all the projects that he had going on. And one of the things that he had was a pigmentation project, which he brought me in as the lead. And what I did was I studied melanin and what caused some people to get darker and some people who couldn't get so dark, and the tanning and those all those in-betweens and what that melanin did for us. And so right. it kind of was the beginning to everything.
Oh, my God. Okay, because there's an article that I read a long time ago, and I remember the article because it kind of floored me, because there were women that were in Africa, and mm-hmm. they were using a product or something to bleach their skin so they can be lighter.
Yes, yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, what is going on with that? I mean, it's like, what would be in a product that could cause your skin to change into a different shade?
There are several things. There's several products, and a lot of that is big in Japan. They have a lot of whitening products.
Exactly.
And then what it is they're blocking a chemical called tyrosinase, which is produced in your body, and it's what also is the cause for hyperpigmentation. Mm-hmm. And so when that is stopped, that can actually, when you also put too much, that can lead to lightening and bleaching of the skin.
Really?
Yes.
So after you use that product, though, wouldn't it, okay, I know that there are some products, and it escapes me right now. I'm going to think about it in a few minutes, but there's a product that you, Retin-A. God, I knew I was going to get it.
Retin-A, yes.
If you put Retin-A on your skin, you're not supposed to be directly exposed to the sun. Am I correct?
Yes.
And what
correct.
Is that for? Why is that?
It actually sensitizes the skin. Retin-A is a product that you either love it or hate it. It sensitizes the skin, and it actually, if I can say this, it thins out the layers, the top layers of the skin, and so it can cause more damage. Actually, if you don't really know what you're doing, and I hate when I read a lot of these blogs who are giving people these tricks of going over to Canada or online to Canada to purchase the Retin-A products that right. we don't have readily available to us for a reason, because it's not something that is prescribed. It's something that is prescribed and not something that's supposed to be freely just used when you don't have the knowledge base. And so a lot of times you will get damaged because sometimes it's overused. And sometimes you don't need it from the beginning, but people may think they have so much acne, and right. so a friend may tell them, oh, you need to get Retin-A, when they have a totally different type of acne. And it takes a lot to come back from a skin irritation versus preventing that skin irritation. So I'm very careful about using Retin-A products on my clients. Peptides are actually something that does the a similar thing, copper peptides, and you can look up products that have copper peptides in them. But that's a great alternative that I like to use for retin-A, because I'm one who has had sensitive skin for so many years, and it took me until last year to finally realize and figure out how to make my skin, build my skin barrier so that my skin is not so sensitive.
Can you honestly say that that is a reason why you, I mean, you really got into it because of your self-purpose, you had to get your skin in order too?
I can't say that, but it's been what's kept me going, because I've always suffered from eczema from the time I was a child, and the sensitive skin, not being able to try different products. So in a sense, it almost hindered me, because I wasn't able to do a lot of the research in trying products that were out there. But for some reason, there was just always a love. I have the background of my dad, who's a plastic surgeon, and my uncle, who's a dermatologist. So I always had them who were, you know, ones that helped to, when I had questions, it had that extra push of motivation.
Your father is a plastic surgeon.
Yes. Retired, but he's the chief of plastic surgery at Howard University.
Wait a minute. I think I know who your father is. I think I actually went to him for a consultation.
Really?
I think I did for, do I dare say on the air, eye issues. Oh, I know. Is his first name Etienne?
Yes.
I had him. Oh, God. Okay. Well, hi, doctor. No. let me ask you something. Since you're a baby of a plastic surgeon, do you find yourself, okay, for instance, you know, we have this fascination or this love for plastic surgery and making things change and making us look better or whatever. Do you find that if, you know, okay, you can do the same thing, not everything, I mean, you know, the thighs, you know, the boob job, but do you find yourself with the products that you make and you sell that you can rejuvenate your skin without going under the knife or, as, you know, the plastic surgeons say, injectables?
Oh, no question. There's so many things out there as technology is evolving. There are facials that you can do massage manipulations. It's not as fast. And I think that's the tricky part, because everyone wants a quick turnaround. But there's so many things, if you really do your research and find, you know, what your issue is with your skin and you do your research, I'm sure there's a facial treatment that can do the same thing that a plastic surgeon can do.
And so you said the key word. You just said the key word. You said fast. I mean, we want stuff. We want to sit down at a restaurant, and we want that meal as soon as we say, you know, as soon as we say, "Can I take your order?" He's supposed to have that meal in his hand at the table.
We don't
want to take the time to do anything these days. So that was a great point you made about, you know, it takes time for you to get your skin to a level where you don't have to go under the needle, because, you know, there's some horror stories about that as well, where people have, you know, gotten under the needle and you know, they're injecting, what was that? It was something about someone, a bigger butt or something, and they injected some oil. I don't know what it was, but it was just something crazy. And you really don't know what's being injected in your skin.
And again, because people are looking for that quick turnaround, they're not doing the proper research to see, are these people certified? Are they registered with the board? These are things that you need to find out, because anybody can go to school and pass the exams, but it's that training and that being certified by a board that says that you have done a certain amount of surgeries that make you reputable to do
that.
Yes.
Could you do that when you go into, like, a, spa that call themselves medical spa or something?
Most definitely. There's so many businesses that are turning into spas. There's the dentist who wants to be a spa.
Right.
And I may be saying too much here, but my dad at one point had so many people who never were trained in any type of plastic surgery that wanted him to train them so that they could turn their practice into a spa.
Oh.
And so, again, that's why I say do your research and make sure that there are certifications, because you don't want a dentist saying that he can give you lipo, but that's what's out here.
or my nail salon person telling me.
Or your nail
salon. Yeah, I could give you permanent eyeliner. Do my nails. Trying to do my nails. I don't want no permanent eyeliner. And my mother, it's like the nail salon up the street can do permanent eyeliner. I'm like, really? Do you really want that?
Right.
So certification, yeah, it's very important.
Yes.
No, okay, so I have a long word. And remember I was telling you that it was something personal and it was my boyfriend. So, you know, if he's listening, hey, I'm going to ask this question. And I wrote it down phonetically so I can pronounce it. Folliculitis.
You got it right. Pseudofolliculitis. It bothers me. The long name, but for short, yes.
He has that.
Okay.
And he's getting treated. He had to go to a dermatologist and get it treated. Something about his razor or his shaver or something.
Yes. And that is part of the lifestyle that I'm working to create with Mankind Grooming, is teaming up with different master barbers and bringing them back in to teach men the proper way to shave. I think over time that's been lost. And there was a time when fathers would teach their sons, this is how you shave. It was a ritual type thing as you raised your boys. And somewhere that's been lost. And so my hope is that I can bring in these master estheticians, barbers, who can teach men how to properly shave and involve myself on how to prep the skin. Because honestly, more importantly, is the prep of the skin. And once you get that prep, you can almost do an improper shave.
Really? So what would you suggest to him for the prep thing? Because I'm sure he's not prepping nothing. I'm sure he's just in there.
Yes. You're shaving off those top layers so many times. If somebody's shaving every day, that gets very irritating. So, you know, what I try to teach guys is to prep by using a pre-shave oil. A lot of guys don't want to take the time. They're doing something really fast. And so typically you would do a pre-shave oil. You would take a hot towel and leave that on for about 3 minutes. And then do your shaving cream or whatever other product that you use to shave. And that's the prep. And then more importantly, a lot of men after they shave aren't putting that moisture back in. And you just removed that top layer of skin. So you have to replenish and soothe that new layer there.
Right.
And so those are the two biggest things that I'm finding that's reactive in the skin is not softening the skin and the hairs in the beginning with something like a pre-shave oil or a hot towel, or putting them more so I see them not putting the moisture back in their skin.
So shaving with a razor versus using clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I see a lot of black men using clippers, and it's all kind of preference on how close you want to get. You can only get but so close with clippers. And again, I think a lot of black men have been scared to use razors because they had that bad experience.
Right.
And they'll bump up afterwards, and I try to explain to them it's because you didn't prep your skin properly. So it's really a matter of preference. The clippers are faster. Again, with the razor, if you really have coarse hair, sometimes it's a little more than the prep and the moisturizing, and you actually have to, a lot of times with coarse hair, there's so many different directions that the hair is growing. And so you almost have to get someone to map out the directions because you want to shave with the grain or against the grain. A lot of people say against, and that's causing more irritation, and it gets you a closer shave. But when you're not doing the proper prep, you're really, really messing up your skin if you go against. I'm not totally saying you can't go against the grain, but you need to really, really prep that skin to be able to do that.
Okay, so basically, say for instance, you have a guy who comes in and he's looking crazy his skin is looking crazy.
His skin, yes.
Do you sit and tell him, hey, you need to stop shaving against, this is the way you need to shave your skin on each part of his face or head or whatever, if he's bald or even if he's not bald? Or, you know, I know most bald men would, you know, they shave their head, I guess, every day, and they probably don't do what you suggested, which is prep
right.
the skin. But do you show them, like, in a mirror, hey, this is the way you need to be shaving your head or else you're going to have a big knot on your face?
I don't. There are some barbers that will map out directions. They'll have a face chart, and it will map the directions of which way to shave. And I actually plan to blog about that with a picture that shows the typical direction. And that's something that I want to find is, so if any master barbers are out there and you do that service of offering the mapping of the facial hair, I would love to market you to my clients. But that's something that I want to develop as well.
Now, tell us some of the products that you have available for purchasing or for men, and then, you know, of course, I want you to give the website, but tell us exactly what are some of the key products that men need to have in their grooming carriage or grooming case or whatever.
I personally am against the multiple razor blades. The number keeps going up, the Mach 5, the Mach 6, the Mach 7, and it just, I mean, there's these huge number of razor blades. So the first thing I would say is keep it simple. Three or lower is enough.
What is that number? I guess man would know that. Because I'm thinking of Lady Bic. I don't know what that, I'm thinking Lady Bic, the pink one that, you know, you want to use that dude? Okay.
Right, we keep it simple. We have one or two blades in ours.
Exactly.
But they've gone up, and they have these numbers which describe how many blades are in this razor. And so, again, you're constantly irritating the skin because that one blade and then the second blade and the third blade is going over, over and over and over again. And for those that come back over the skin again, that's almost like taking 10 blades over your skin in one time. So imagine the torture that your face is experiencing there. But so I would say keep it simple to a three or less razor blade blade. Or if you choose to do clippers. But my goal is to allow men to realize the importance of pre-shave oil and moisturizing the skin afterwards. So my flagship product, which is not created yet, is the aftershave balm. There's three products in the Mankind grooming line. It's the pre-shave oil, shaving cream, and the aftershave balm. And I find that men are slowly realizing the importance of prep, and so a pre-shave oil is great to have. And you can do a pre-shave oil and a shaving cream, or you can do either or. It's really your preference. Some people like the shaving oil because it allows them to see what they're shaving. And so those who may want to do a goatee want to see, you know, what they're doing versus the cream that's covering everything up. But I would say the razor or the clippers, and then an oil or a cream and some type of moisturizer that is not a body lotion.
You know, say now, why was I about to say Jergens? I mean,
But that's what a lot of men do. They use the same body lotion that they're lotioning the rest of their body with, and it's not giving that soothing property that's needed to replenish that layer that they've just removed.
That is so important, and you know, I mentioned, you know, a name brand, but that's the one that my boyfriend uses a lot for his body, and I don't know if he uses it on his face, but yeah, you make a great point, because they have labels on there that says for face only, and
yes.
for body only. And
yes.
I'm thinking
yes.
the reason why it's labeled like that is because they probably have more nutrients, moisture, whatever, for the face, because since you're doing all that damage with a razor blade.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
you don't even realize it. I mean, and you just made another great point. I don't realize it, or I don't know if anyone else has, but you got something that has 10 blades, and you're putting that against your skin. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I mean,
I don't want that much torture.
yeah, I mean, can I slice a pumpernickel bread with that blade? I mean, my God,
right.
that's pretty deep.
Yes, yep. Exactly.
Now, you need to give us your website on where we can get your and your blog, because you did say something about blogging. Now, do you blog about the proper techniques and how men should do their skin and their face? Is that including your blog along with suggestions?
Right now, my blog is on The Examiner, and you can look me up, Aisha Masak, and okay. I'm the men's skincare blogger for DC, but I also have some blogs prepped. I'm actually, the website actually will not launch until next month, but there is a holding page right now, and it's www.groomingmankind.com. There's a holding page, and you'll be able to purchase online next month, starting with the pre-shave oil. But I'm actually doing one at a time so that I can give my full focus to the product and give a true and valued product with great ingredients. So.
Well, yeah, that's important, too, because, you know, like we were talking about earlier about rushing everything. Something should just take a little time to create, develop, and to accomplish so it can give you the best benefits.
Yes, yes, yes. It's been through testing stages, and because everything is so natural, that's actually what keeps pushing my release date back, because
right.
I may have to change an ingredient because of the shelf life.
Exactly.
And so that's pretty much why I still haven't released the pre-shave oil, but I'm hoping that we're good to go. Everything's looking promising now, and I'm hoping it will be released next month with the website.
Well, with a few minutes to go before the break, I do want to ask you two more questions. One was, you said natural ingredient, and if you can,
mm-hmm.
are you allowed to give, like, some of the ingredients that we would find in groomingmankind.com products?
Of course.
What are your main, I gotta, you know, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread product, I mean, additive that you use?
You made that one tough. I was so ready to, okay,
Like, what would you say, I can't live without it if I don't add this to this? You know, you got to have this into your product if you want it to be great.
I would have to say the rosemary. The rosemary and the bergamot, because those are very strong antiseptic and antibacterial ingredients that were big for me, because that's part of what causes the ingrowns. That bacteria,
right.
just like with a pimple, that bacteria gets under that skin and it causes it to react and get inflamed. And so the bergamot, golly, now you're making me name more stuff. I have aloe.
No. Those are great. And those are like my favorite fragrances, you know, and of course I love, you know, the rosemary with chicken, but I mean that's my favorite herb.
Yes.
And
yes,
I love the smell of
yes.
bergamot because it reminds me of Earl Grey.
Oh, okay, yes, yes, yes.
But I did read somewhere that bergamot was excellent as an anesthetic. I mean, anesthetic.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well, yes. there you go. There goes the
yes.
magic on that
yes.
word.
Yes. Yes.
Aisha Masak from groomingmankind.com, I really, really thank you for being on my first show. You've been a fabulous guest, and I hope you come back again when your product launches so we can let people know how it's going and how they can purchase it and all that good stuff.
I would love to. This has been fun for me. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And coming back on the other side of the break, we're going to have Massage Envy. Yeah, get envious on this massage. Yeah, because they have everything that you want in a massage. Spa, facials, everything. We're going to come back and we're going to let you talk with Amina Hall, who is with Massage Envy, in a few minutes. Stay with us. Now, welcome back to The Beauty Files, our first show on BBS Radio. I'm Juanita, and I'm so glad you can continue to listen to our wonderful informative packed show. I was being a little goofy, a little silly on the first part, but I promise to behave. I don't think so. Anyway, we have today with us another wonderful guest. Amina Hall is the clinic administration for the Woodmore Town Center Massage Envy Spa. Now, even the words make you relax. I don't know if it makes you relax, but Massage Envy Spa, Yeah, I'm getting it. Welcome to the Beauty Files, Amina. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I have so many questions to ask that I am just trying to figure out which one to start first. But I'm gonna start with the most important. How long have you been in that location, and as far as doing business for Massage Envy?
This location has been open for about a year in October, but I've been with Massage Envy for a little over 3 years.
Oh, okay. And do you yourself perform massages, or you basically run the actual clinic or spa?
Well, I am a licensed massage therapist in Maryland, but currently I do run the spa.
Okay. So we're going to get into the all the different customized sessions that you offer. First, massage. Oh, my God. What is the difference, and if someone asks me to ask this, I'm going to ask, what is the difference between a Swedish massage and a deep tissue massage?
A Swedish massage is a very basic massage. The term is just really for the techniques that are used in sessions, so it's long strokes. Not a lot of deep pressure. It just really is a truly relaxing massage. It just kind of helps melt the muscles down. A deep tissue is if you have those specific areas that you know you need some extra attention, the therapist will kind of get in there with a little more pressure, work out those knots that a lot of people tend to have, mm-hmm. releases that muscle tension, and just really helps work deeper into those muscle groups.
Now, are you in place of a physical therapist?
We would be kind of in addition to a physical therapist. With physical therapy, that is more for specific injury. There is some massage during physical therapy, but we would be a nice addition if you are having back pain, for neck pain, things like that. But we wouldn't be in place of a physical therapist.
Okay, so my doctor.
Depending on what your problem is.
Right. So my doctor wouldn't write a prescription to, you know, and I'm like, to Massage Envy, I guess I would have to do it myself, as opposed to getting like a medical doctor to prescribe to come to your establishment.
Well, honestly, it would depend on what you were being treated for. So some chiropractors will recommend massage therapy, but that's
right.
Very obviously, if you're going to a chiropractor, you're going for a very specific reason with is focused around, you know, neck, back injury, things like that. Your regular old orthopedic doctor probably wouldn't recommend massage therapy, but it would be an option if you talked to him about it. He wouldn't deny it.
Yeah, because I went to a massage. I didn't go to yours because I'm coming to yours like soon. But I went to another one out of state, and it was amazing.
Massage
I melted.
Is fantastic. It is.
I literally melted. I'm like, you know, just pick me. There's no more bones left. I melted. It was the best massage I've ever had.
I'm glad to
and
hear
the tech. And the technician that did it, they ask you questions about what, you know, are anything specific that you need to address?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have this, you have that? Do you like light pressure, small pressure? You know, not the whole, oh, I'll get my boyfriend to give me a massage. And, you know, that's bootleg. I mean, we all know that. So, but this place, I'll give you a massage, baby. Let me just massage your shoulder. No, this place. People is a truly godsend, and there's other stuff. I gotta read the rest of the stuff. There are other stuff. People, we got reflexology. What is that? Now we know what that is, but explain to everyone what reflexology is.
Reflexology focuses around the hands and feet. Basically, it's an old. I think it has its origins in Chinese medicine. Basically, the idea is that your hands and feet are a map of your body. So your head is your big toe or your thumb. Your stomach is along your middle finger or middle toe. So if you ever look at a reflexology map, the map of your hands and feet reflect the map of your body. So with reflexology, basically following these different techniques that go along these maps help target these specific issues. So, for instance, I suffer from migraine headaches. So when mm-hmm. I do my reflexology, they're focusing on the padding of between my thumb and forefinger. They're focusing between my big toe and middle toe. It's just because that is targeted to where my migraine headaches are originating. So, it various different...
Really?
And, yeah, chronic disorders can be mapped out by your hands and feet, which is why a lot of people like reflexology.
Okay, I got two words for you, Mina. Heel spurs.
Heel spurs. Heel spurs, I can't necessarily say are going to be healed by reflexology because the pain is directly in the heel.
Okay.
But for heel spurs, because that is that inflammation around those tendons,
right,
that would be more going into stretching and sports massage in the leg because those muscles are connected to that ligament that goes around the ankle. So that would loosen up the muscle, therefore loosening up the ligament, therefore you don't have that inflammation, you know, the hip bone.
Are you serious? Because now how do I know about the two dreaded words, heel spur? Because I suffer from that now, and they had this fancy word. If I try to say it, I probably sound crazy. Plantar something.
Plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. That is.
And she told me about the stretching.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Stretching, for many people who suffer from that, it's a very, very, very common ailment, especially among us women with the heels and whatnot.
I know.
But stretching is a godsend, you know, especially, and also putting ice on your feet helps a little bit.
Okay.
Plantar fasciitis can be very uncomfortable, so absolutely stretching. And some
it
massage.
It is so uncomfortable. I'm sorry?
I said obviously some massage to the feet, but not too much. Mostly the stretching helps.
Let me tell you something, Amina. You know, that death sentence was crazy because I had all these heels in my closet, and she told me about the heels. But, well, you're going to have to wear the tennis shoes with this insert to help, you know, pull up your heel or whatever because of the pain. And she's right, because the pain is excruciating. I mean, I've done the icing, but I'm going to entertain the massage with the leg thing because that's an option that I didn't think of until right now. So I will be making that appointment with you to get that done. Also,
well, you know, an option for that definitely we have at Massage Envy is one of our upgrades called Deep Muscle Therapy. It works with BioFreeze, which, if you've ever used BioFreeze, it's almost like
yes,
an ice hot massage.
For are you serious?
Legs and feet. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic because it has that heating effect to warm up so the therapist can work on your feet, but then you have that BioFreeze cooling it down to help with pain. It's an excellent option if you're suffering from heel spurs and plantar fasciitis.
What is that called again? Look, I'm writing it down.
It's Deep Muscle Therapy.
Deep Muscle Therapy. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna definitely... And then, okay, so yeah, we've been talking a lot about the massage and my personal crying story here. Let me just stop and focus. What you also do facials.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about some of the facials. I mean, are there, like, a different type that we should ask for? Like, we had Aisha on earlier, and she was talking about her man grooming products that, you know, help men with their grooming issues. But now we're going to talk about the girls. And is there some particular type of facial that when you're over 40 that we need to start addressing?
Well,
over
the
50
facials,
or 40.
The facials we offer, we use only Murad products. If anybody's familiar with Dr. Murad, he has a full range of fabulously wonderful products. There's like over 1,000 products. We use a very small percentage of that. But our Healthy Skin Facials, we offer 4 types. And basically what we do is when you come in for your session, we ask you some questions asking about what your skincare concerns are. Then when you meet with your esthetician, after she does a skin analysis and based on what your concerns are, she'll recommend which facial is best for you. For instance, I am under the under 40 crowd, but I still get a anti-aging facial. Because it's
right,
all about taking care of what you have now. So there's no facial that is aimed at an age group or skin color, anything like that. You know, skin is skin. We'll just determine what's necessary for you.
And you can determine what type of service. Like, there's a, not a deep cleansing, it's called, it uses enzymes, and I can't think of it right now on top of my head, but it's like a... like a deep exfoliation type of process.
We do with the facials. There is a process that is deep cleansing. We don't do any like outside peels or
microdermabrasion
or anything like that.
Yeah.
No, we don't do anything like that. Everything, you know, we don't use any outside tools. The only tools they use are their hands. There's a steamer going throughout the session, but there is deep cleansing. toning, any manual extractions of blackheads, blemishes. There's some massage to the neck, shoulders, arms, and hands. And then, of course, there's moisturizing at the end. It's a beautiful experience.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm there already in my mind. I'm already there. I'm already laying there with a towel around my head. I am there, Amina. And you all are celebrating a one-year anniversary Friday, October 12th at this location?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
This location has been open 1 year, and we are very excited.
Oh, my God. And then I'm reading also that you are you recently had your Healing Hands for Arthritis event. Explain to us what that is.
Massage Envy, our franchise, partnered with the Arthritis Foundation. Obviously, arthritis and massage kind of go hand in hand. And so with the Arthritis Foundation, this is the second year we've done this. $10 of every service at every Massage Envy across the country went to the Arthritis Foundation. Last year, we raised close to $500,000. They haven't given us our totals yet for this year, but we're hoping to be well past that goal. And again, all the proceeds went to the Arthritis Foundation.
So is it safe to say that I personally know someone who is suffering from arthritis really bad, and mm-hmm. What type of service should she come in? Because I'm going to bring her. Oh, okay, there I go again, my personal stories. But I'm going to bring her, my mom, into Massage Envy. What type of services should she ask for? Because she can't walk too well, and she has really bad arthritis.
Well, what we like to do is when you come in, we like to customize the session based on what your needs are. So, yes, we do offer various modalities that are covered under our prices, but because she has a very specific need, we would certainly try to pair her with a therapist who we know would take care of her. And then when she comes in, we just kind of ask some questions to see how she's taking care of herself and with her arthritis, what hurts the most on a pain scale of 1 to 10. And then whichever therapist she's paired with will use a combination of, Swedish and deep tissue and myofascial, all these different techniques to make sure we achieve, when she's leaving, if she came in at 10, she's leaving at a 2.
Oh, my God, because I see here geriatric massage. I mean, this is, like, perfect because, like you were saying, and I didn't know you got into it that deep, which I can certainly appreciate, is that you are asking her questions as far as her lifestyle, what she eats, what she does, her activity. I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely. All those things play into our pain and, especially with arthritis, a lot of that just plays into everything. And so, we want to know what's going on. We're not just going to lay you on the table and give you somebody who's not going to take care of you. We want to make sure we are pairing her with someone who really is paying attention to what her needs are.
Should you walk out of a massage session in more pain than when you came in?
Absolutely not.
That is a big misconception. Yes.
That is a big misconception, especially for people who are not familiar with massage. They always walk in wanting the deep tissue, and they expect, Olga with the elbow pile driving into their back. That is not deep tissue. Deep tissue, it's called deep tissue because it's techniques that affect the deeper tissues of the body.
Okay.
Our body is not just one layer, as we all know, and neither are our muscles. So a lot of that pain that we have with muscle tension and tightness and fatigue is from underlying tissues. So the deep tissue is, yes, it is does use firmer pressure, but it is to affect the underlying pressure, the underlying tissues. You should never walk out of a massage with bruises or aching or in pain.
Exactly. That was one of my, the first question I wanted to ask, but I forgot because I got so involved with your services. But a person should never leave a massage session literally crawling out, saying, oh, my God, well, I know in the end it'll be good for me. Really?
No, absolutely not. You should never, 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 never leave in pain. And conversely, we say to people, people come in, after they've had a car accident or had some sort of injury and they're already in severe pain. Sometimes we won't do a massage just because we don't want to further injure you. So if you're coming in with some sort of tension and, slight discomfort, of course we'll do what we can to help. But if, you're coming in with whiplash, we may not, and you're still in a lot of pain, we may not be able to help just because we don't want to further damage, any muscles that may have already been injured.
And if a person decides to come work at Massage Envy, what type of certification process is it? Or do you have to be, I guess you would have to be certified, but do you have to go to any particular type of medical school or medical training, or is it, you know, what type of certification would you have to have?
There are massage schools across the country.
Okay.
So once you've completed school, you do have to complete a certain number of hours, and then
right.
you take a national certification, and then you become licensed in whatever state you're working in. In Maryland, you do have to become licensed to be able to work as a massage therapist. And same with estheticians. They also go to school, they get nationally certified, and they become licensed in whatever state they're working.
What questions, if I'm, you know, a neophyte, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, I heard about this fabulous place, Massage Envy. What do I ask you as the person who's treating me? What questions should a person ask that before, you know, they even get started? Is there anything that you would suggest that me or whoever, when they first come into your place and they don't know anything about what's going on, but they just know they want to relieve some pain or pressure, what should we ask?
We always like to find out from clients what kind of therapist or what kind of person they'd like to work with. You know, we have a lot of therapists who will talk your head off all throughout session, but we also have therapists who won't say a word. So it's
yeah.
a matter of being comfortable with, you know, the talking level. A lot of people ask us how long they've been a therapist. We also get questions about, I always tell people if they've never had a massage before and they're not used to touch, to have the therapist hold out their hand and give them example of their pressure on the client's arm. That way there's no surprises when they go into session and they start massaging the body. They have an idea of what the pressure will be like.
Right. So it won't be rude of me if I came in and you know, I get a therapist. Because I will tell you, I did have an experience where this lady was talking to me so much that I just, you know, she kept talking and I was relaxed because she had the music going and she had the oil. It was just fabulous. And she started talking and I was like, no conversation. And she looked at me like, oh, and all of a sudden the pressure got a little bit more intense. Because I told her I didn't want to talk right now. I wanted to enjoy the moment of getting the massage. So,
right,
and so saying that, is it rude for someone to ask that or just say, can I please have someone that just will do their thing and I'll roll on out?
Absolutely not. When we book our appointments, we want to make sure that, you know, this entire session, from the minute you walk in the door to the minute you leave, is all about you. We want to make sure you are just going to have the most fantastic service ever. So do not feel at all hesitant to say to the therapist that you don't want to talk. You know, if they're starting to talk, ask them to be quiet. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. If they're using too much pressure or not enough pressure, any adjustments you need to be made, make sure you communicate that with them. Because a lot of people, that's a big concern amongst our clients, is they're afraid to say something because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings or they don't want to get
right.
somebody in trouble. Absolutely not. You will not hurt anybody's feelings. We want to make sure you guys are comfortable and it's exactly what you want.
Male masseuse versus female masseuse.
There is no difference.
Okay. Because, you know, there are women who have stronger arms, pressure than men.
Absolutely. There is always a comfort level. You know, some clients are just comfortable with certain genders. You know, of course, we'll accommodate that. But, you know, a big misconception is, especially from men coming in, getting sessions, is they'll say, oh, I want a strong man. Like, I have a therapist who is 5'2" on a good day, and she can make a 6'5" man cry.
Yeah, I think I know her. No. Yeah. There are women, yeah, you're right. They can do just the same amount of pressure and job as a man can do.
Absolutely. It's all in technique.
Well, Amina Hall, I really appreciate, you know, the time went so fast, but I want to let everyone know, Massage Envy, they're located at the Woodmore Town Center at 9300 Woodmore Center Drive in Lanham, Maryland, or I think it's Bowie, Maryland, or is it Lanham, Maryland?
We're in Lanham. Our address is Lanham, but we are the Bowie/Woodmore Town Center. We're off of 202 near Redskin Stadium where the Wegmans is.
And if you want to book an appointment, please call 301-364-3400 and get your Massage Envy spa treatments. They have an array of stuff, as you heard Mina telling me, all the different types of massages, your legs, your feet, your facials. They even massage your head. They have a head massage, too, that I didn't even touch on, which is godsend to me as well. Amina, thank you so much for being on my first show. I really appreciate it. And
my
everyone
pleasure.
Out there, love what you had to say. And check out Massage Envy when you can.